If you're getting tired of losing life's war, and you keep searching for something worth fighting for, well, God's got an army. We've been proved and tried. So come on over to the winning side. Come on over to the winning side. We're following Jesus. We got our banner held high. We're God's mighty army. We'll not be denied. So come on over to the winning side. We march through the fire, but the fire won't burn. We march through the water, but old Pharaoh won't learn. Then we march through the lion's den, and old Daniel reply, these lions can't hurt me, 'cause I'm on the winning side. Come on over to the winning side. We're following Jesus. We got our banner aligned. We're God's mighty army. We'll not be denied. So come on over to the winning side. If you're getting tired of losing life's war, and you keep searching for something worth fighting for, well, God's got an army. We've been proved and tried. So come on over to the winning side. So come on over to the winning side. We're following Jesus. We got our banner held high. We're God's mighty army. We'll not be denied. So come on over to the winning side.
We march through the fire, but the fire won't burn.
We march through the water, but old Pharaoh will learn. Then we march through the lion's den, and old Daniel reply, these lions can't hurt me, 'cause I'm on the winning side. Come on over to the winning side. We're following Jesus. We got our banner held high. We're God's mighty army. We'll not be denied. So come on over to the winning side. Yeah, we've gone through the water. They threw everything they could at us. We just came out on the other side, on the winning side. It didn't affect us. Mm-hmm. They marched through the fire. All they try to do to us, these zealots, you know, these Pharisees, these thugs, these Satanists, they're working for the devil and they don't know it, these religionists. See, we got their number, eh? Mm-hmm. The reason we got it, we are on the winning side. God's got an army. All we got to do is endure, you know, persevere. Mm-hmm. They can't do a thing. They can just snort, threaten you. Fear not them that kill the body. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him and worship Him. Let's forget about ourselves, concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So let us come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. When summer finally gets here, it's a warm time of year. People go on vacation, they go far and near. Someday I'll take me a journey, and no star will outlast. I'm going home for vacation, but I'll be coming back. I'm gonna take a vacation past the moon and the star. I'm gonna walk down the golden street, no traffic, no car. I'm gonna lay in this sunlight, gonna swim in the river of life. I'm going home for vacation. I'm waiting for my flight. Now if you want to go with me, here's what you must do. Get your ticket from Jesus. He will see you through. Heaven's not on the road map, and there's only one way to enjoy a vacation. Like we'll have someday, gonna take a vacation past the moon and the stars. Gonna walk down the golden street, no traffic, no cars. Gonna lay in his sunlight, gonna swim in the river of life. I'm going home for vacation. I'm waiting for my flight. Now if you want to go with me, here's what you must do. Get your ticket from Jesus. He will show you through. Heaven's not on the road map. There's only one way to enjoy a vacation. Like we'll have someday, I'm gonna take a vacation past the moon and the stars. I'm gonna walk down the golden street, no traffic, no car. Gonna lay in his sunlight, gonna swim in the river of life. I'm going home for vacation. I'm waiting for my flight. That's the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's that vacation. Just that simple. For you and I, everything is so mapped out. Everything, if you understand the Bible and you work yourself out of religiosity, out of these religious cesspools, darkness, Egyptian darkness, that's all this religion is anymore. Mm-hmm. It used to be something back in the day, but it, Everything has evolved into spiritual darkness now. And the program is the Marriage of the Lamb. That's where that vacation is. And everybody can go. Everybody's welcome. All you got to do is believe this truth here. You guys are strong. It's all very simple. But see, people have been brainwashed. They've been drunk with the wine of that fornication, with that religiology. That's what that means back there. The inhabitants of the earth have become a drunk with that wine of that religious fornication. That's why people can't hear us. It's a miracle if somebody can dig themselves out of these religiology holes and cesspools. You're an Amish, you got to dig yourself out of that cesspool. All it is a religiology, that's what I call it, just to make it plain and simple. We made our cut many years ago. Mm-hmm. We saw it for what it was. There's no life in there.
No, just that.
They won't tell you the truth.
There is no spiritual life in there.
Maria Jesus, I'm crying, saying loud and lovely, there's hearts and there's a big stone. Drum blick, nor a rain, and a path of gishik, the lights of fear devour for one. See, in the sea, there ye is the sun cried, singing loud, and a blick, where hearts in their zeal be gishtone. O hat nicht ein Jesus getracht in die Schuhe, gebirzet am Kreuz auch für dich. O floss nicht sein Blut voller Barmaterhut zur Erlösung für mich und für dich. Sieh, das Sieh, der Jesus am Kreuz, singing laut, wenn blick, wenn halt zu der Selbe gestorben. Dein Weinen und deine Gebet sind es nicht, O Gott, du mit Gott wirst versehen. Das Blut deines Heilens befreit vom Gericht, der Eis, der mit Gnade dich quält. Sieh, der Jesus am Kreuz, den Glauben erblickt, wenn Heil zu der Selbe gestürmt. O zweifle nicht länger und glaub es gewiss, du hast nun noch nichts mehr zu tun. Dein Jesus, der trat für dich in den Riss, in ihm kannst du seliglich ruhen. Sieh, wer Jesus am Kreuz sehen glaubt, wenn blickt, wer hat zu der Selbe gestürmt. O hat nicht ein Jesus getragen die Schuld, gebirset am Kreuz auch für dich. O floss nicht sein Blut voller barmter Huld zur Erlösung für dich und für mich. Sieh, in der See, der Jesus am Kreuz saying loud and blick, then heil zu der Selbe gestorben. Yeah, he's that person that God back in the garden when Adam and Eve messed up the whole picture. Mm-hmm. He said he's going to send somebody that'll make everything right. And here he was. He came, Jesus. Make everything right again. All you gotta do is believe it. The Bible. Jesus was here. All he talks about believing him. Mm-hmm. He that believes in the Son has eternal life. and will not come into condemnation. He that believes on them whom I will send has eternal life. Contrary to the grace age, he sent these angels. The program continues like back in the days of Jesus. All you had to do is believe what Jesus said. And if you really believe, like believe means like don't just believe it and then go back in your same old gutter. If you really believe it, you'll do something about your lifestyle. That's what it means. And the people that believed Jesus back in the day, they didn't care. They were put out in the synagogues and all that. There's some that, you know, like a lot of the Pharisees believed in Jesus, like Nicodemus, and they were still Pharisees. The same. There's a lot of Hutterites that believe in us. They can still be Hutterite, but deep in their heart, they believe us. They don't believe that Leonard and his filth and his garbage and his religious and his traditions. That's all it is. His tradition. He's trying to get his way into heaven with tradition, mm-hmm. with rules and regulations. It don't work that way. It's not biblical. You just have to believe. He that believes on the Son has eternal life, and he that does not believe,
not life.
The wrath of God abides in him. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. And if you believe what we are saying, you'll end up in the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then if you miss that, what you're going to do. If you miss the rapture, you miss everything we're trying to say here, then that's the end of the grace age. Then it's no more the grace age. Then it goes into something else. Then it goes into the 144,000 and the message of the 144,000, and then blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. Then that butcher and that slaughter are going to start once that rapture happens. That blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. If you reject what we're saying, that's all that's left for you. You're going to have to go through that. If you're going to go to heaven at all, if you're going to be part of that first resurrection, there's six parts of the first resurrection, really. And if you miss the rapture, and if you miss all that, then you'll have to give your life for it. Just that simple. Blessed is he that dies in the Lord from henceforth. And then you end up on that sea of glass. God's got provision for everybody. But now, right now, here in the closing days of time and the closing days of the seven churches, he's got a remedy. He's got a marriage supper of the Lamb, and whosoever will him come. And I can't see no condition. All you got to do is believe it. That's always been the issue. Just all you got to do is believe it. He that believes in the Son has eternal life. And back then, like I say, if the Pharisees found out you believed, then they didn't like it too much. They put you out of the synagogues. Who cares about their damn synagogues? You're rotten to the core. Just like when I said yesterday about when they terminated from that Hutterite cult. I was driving down the road, praising the Lord. Glad I was out of that prison. They thought they were doing me a misdeed. But like a bird out of prison, mm-hmm. was keeping its light. I could just see myself driving down that road. I know exactly the road I was driving down. Praising the Lord, being grateful that he finally got out of that prison, out of that synagogue. It's very simple when you see the program, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? For you and I, everything is so simple. It's all mapped out for us, and all you got to do is believe it. He that believes on the Son has eternal life. He that believes not has not eternal life. Just that simple. Mm-hmm. And this here's the last call for mankind before that other chapter kicks in. Blessed is he that died and the Lord from henceforth. It's going to happen exactly what we're saying. Whether people like it or not, whether people believe it or not. We're just telling people the truth. Because we got the program. You and I, we got the whole counsel of God. Just that simple. There's a haven to gain and a help to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross. There's a haven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven that goes by the cross. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. The highway to heaven still goes by the cross. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over in the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Oh, my loving brother, when this world's on fire, don't you want God's bosom to be your pillow? Hide me over under the rock of ages, rock of ages, rock of ages, cleft for me. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have seen him in the watchfire of a hundred circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and dims. I can read his righteous sentence by the dim and glaring lamp. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah, His truth is marching on. The call of Jeremiah. The call of Ezekiel. The call of Hosea. They all had a calling. The call of Amos. You go back and Amos, I think he was out there driving his oxen or something, and the Lord called him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just went and he told these Israelites what they were about. Each generation had a Jeremiah. And then the call of Sam and Lorraine. You and I have a calling on our lives. We're not ashamed to see it, because we've gone through their torture chambers. We've gone through Jeremiah, rejected from his whole family. His whole family rejected Jeremiah because he had a calling on his life. That's what the family will do. Those of your household will be your biggest enemies. It's just that simple. That's just the way it works. And God has a calling on your life. It doesn't matter. Everybody turns against you. You're lucky. We're very blessed and fortunate. At least we have each other.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have Jeremiah. He had just himself. None of his family members stood with him. He had a few faithful ones, like Baruch. his writer and people like that, and things like that. But other than that, his whole family rejected him. They turned him out.
And people that cared like that, who was it from Ethiopia, that man that pulled him out of the well? You know, people that cared.
Foreigners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, foreigners usually, yeah.
Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, see, that is yourself, because we're not ashamed of what God has called us to be. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. See, he knew it before the foundation of the world. That's why I say the Bible was written before the foundation of the world. We were predestinated before the foundation of the world. You just go back and you read Ephesians chapter 1 and you'll see the whole picture just like you and I see it. And then he made a blueprint back there and he knew everything. Everything he foreknew, the foreknowledge of God. He knew exactly when we came to the crossroads, we're going to make the right decision. Because he knew what he put in us. And before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. He could say that back in before the foundation of the world, I knew you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. That's the job that you and I have. Whether people like it or not, they can make fun of us if they want. Who cares? That's just their makeup. They can't do no other than making fun, and like just like it was in the days of Noah. They thought it was cool to go out and mock Noah when they seen him go down to the store to buy some stuff for his ark. They couldn't wait to make fun of him. They mocked him. That's what they're doing to us. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. We're not just speaking to these other, we're speaking to all these religious zealots and these religious cults out there. The world is full of them. These Muslims and these Sikhs, we see them all over. Then said I, O Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. He called me back when I was 23 years old, when he saved me, he gave me that scripture. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whosoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. I tell you, I've had a lot of tough road to. I had to go to speak to people that they tried to kill me just because I told them the truth. Be not afraid for their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root them out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. That's just the job that the Lord gave us. I'll read it in this other translation here, and sometimes it comes out a little better. The Lord said to me, before I formed you in your mother's womb, that was before he formed me, that means before the foundation of the world, I chose you before you were born. What's before I was born? Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you to be prophet to the nations. That's our job. People, they make fun of us and that's their business. That's not our business. I answered, O Lord God, I really do not know how to speak well enough for that, for I am too young. The Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young, but go to whomever I send you and say whatever I tell you. He told that to Jeremiah, he told that to Hosea, he told that to Ezekiel, right down through history, he told it to people, he told it to you. Apostle Paul, God, he's going to be a chosen vessel for me. Mm-hmm. And he had a job to do, whether he liked it or not, that's his job. But go to whomever I send you and say whatever I tell you. That Apostle Paul, he had to stand before Felix and before the Roman emperors and all these people. But he had a job to do. Do not be afraid of those whom I send you, for I will be with you to protect you, says the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I will most assuredly give you the words you are to speak for me. Know for sure that I hereby give you the authority to announce to the nations and the kingdoms that they will be uprooted and torn down, destroyed, and demolished. That's going on. That's happening to these religiologies out here. The day of the Lord will bring it about. They'll be demolished. And then to rebuild and to plan. Heavenly Father, we read your word here. We just want to stop for a moment in time just to give you thanks for another day of life, for all you do for us, Lord. Just a numerous dimension. We just ask once again, Lord, for the grace to finish our race with dignity and with respect, and that we'll come out on the other end faithful and true, Lord. That's all we ask. And most of all, Lord, that you give us the grace to keep our limbs all trimmed and burned, that we keep that fire going, Lord, that we'll not fall by the wayside like many that we know just caved in and just compromised. Lord, we just pray you'll give us staying power, Lord, that we'll just be able to continue on this journey, Lord, to stay faithful and true. We pray, Lord, you'll open the hearts of the people that they're going to just get it. Just all they have to do is believe what we're trying to say for the last 17 years. I just pray, Lord, you'll give that increase in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, that's our lot in life, is to get up in the morning and be about the Lord's business and to persevere, to continue on from day to day. Even sometimes you don't feel like it. Sometimes you just get discouraged, but sometimes you feel like, what's the point? Nobody's listening to us anyway. But see, we just got to persevere. We just got to keep on going. The Lord gives us fuel and everything we need from day to day. He gives us something to talk about. Here the other day, he just reminded me, I took inventory of what you and I have been doing. What we've been doing, we've been doing exactly what it says here. We've uprooted. We're uprooting these kingdoms. These outright kingdoms. And these are all just kingdoms. No matter how you look at it, the Amish, they have a kingdom. The Society of the Brethren, they have a kingdom, and they got thousands of people in their kingdom. And here we come along, and we demolish it. We just predicted that they might not ever hear us. But see, we're going into the heavenly realm. It goes into the spirit realm, and then the angel, they distribute it to wherever it needs to go, because like that mighty angel. There was a mighty, John saw that mighty angel going throughout the heavens. He sent out an anointing, and you and I, we heard that voice come out of her, my people. That's why we came out of these diabolical religious systems. We heard that angel. We didn't literally hear him, but there's something in our spirit. We weren't content in there. We saw something, we saw all the cracks and all the crevices in there that it was not compatible to the Word of God. And eventually but it was that voice of that angel. And today it's the same thing. When we're saying things here, like I say, they might not ever hear us, but it goes into the heavenly realm, because the Bible says the church of the living God will show to the principalities and to the angel and to the unseen world the manifold wisdom of God. And here, that's all we're doing. We're doing exactly what the Lord tells us to do. And he told us to go there and uproot, and that's what I took inventory the other day. And I stopped and I said, really, that's what we do. We've been uprooting here. When all you got to do is you just expose it. You don't take a bomber and go in there and demolish everything. All you got, it's all the religiology. You know what? All these fighting going on over in Iran and all that. They take the B-2 bombers and they going in there and bombing to shreds. And really, all you got to do, you got to go after that religion. It's all that. All that is in Iran and the Muslim, it's that Muslim religion, and we just come against that stuff here. Here in America, it's all, here in Canada, it's all that Roman Catholicism. And we go after the spirit of the thing. We don't need no guns, we don't need no bombers. All we got to do is just expose it. That's what we're doing with these Hutterites. We're just exposing it. We don't have to go in there and destroy and beat around with bombs and trickery. All you got to do, we're simply doing. I have given you the authority to go out there and demolish it. How do you demolish it? He demolished the spirit of the thing. That's all. Come against the spirit in the name of Jesus. To destroy it, to pull down, and to tear down, and then to build and to plant. How do you build and to plant? You build and you plant with the truth, the truth of God, the truth of the hour, the message of today. You just tell people that God sent the prophet, and you tell them the truth about their diabolical Roman Catholicism and their cults. That's all you got to do. You just, all you got to do is expose it. And you, mm-hmm. like I say, you don't need no guns. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go in there and destroy that whole infrastructure and everything. That's all Jesus did. He just went and exposed the Pharisees and that religious zealots. That's all he did. And eventually, as time went on, the people, like I said earlier, there's a lot of Pharisees that believed in Jesus. Even though there are still Pharisees, and there's a lot of Hutterites that believe. If they do it secretly, just like Nicodemus. He came to Jesus at night, secretly. He didn't want the rest of the group to find out what he's about. He did it underground. That's where I was. I was underground in that colony forever and a day because the Lord saved me when I was 23 years old. And then I soon found out you can't be a Christian. You can't be a Christian out in the open in that Hutterite cult because they'll terrorize you like mm-hmm. my parents. They want to take me to the mental home when I did some things. And I soon found out, if you want to be a Christian in there, you've got to go underground. Mm-hmm. You've got to kind of do it to everything in secret. That's what Nicodemus did. He came to Jesus at night because he didn't want the rest of the Pharisees to find out. But he secretly believed in Jesus. And that's mm-hmm. a lot of people today. They're secretly believers. Like I said yesterday, we had this preacher step in here and he pulled out his phone. Yeah, I listen to you sometimes. There's a lot of them like that. They don't want that Leonard to find out that they're listening, or that guy from Acadia. They don't want people to find out that people are listening to us. So they do it in the secret. That's why the Lord told me to put up this message, his website, back 10, 15, 20 years ago. And he said, if there's somebody out there with a hunger and a thirst, he'll bring them to it. We don't have to know who they are. I don't even know who they are. They don't let us know who they are because they don't want to bear the reproach of Christ. They don't want people to find out what we're about, but that they're listening to us. But see, that's their business. We're just doing our job, and we do it out in the open, and then, because like that song said, like the Bible even says it, that if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Heavenly Father. And if you deny me before man, he's going to deny it before our Heavenly Father. We're just about the Lord's business, that's all.
Mm-hmm. That's right, because, you know, you'll be amazed how much Roman Catholicism has taken over society and in every aspect of religion. You know, it's the same. That spirit that's driving it is actually Roman Catholicism. And everywhere around it, people have become so used to these things that they have adopted them in their ways of living, you know. And every church out there has adopted what Roman Catholicism stands for. You'd be surprised how it has infiltrated everywhere, and people are unaware of it because it slowly creeps in, and people think it's normal, mm-hmm. but it's not. But if you go to the scripture will let you know what the condition is, and it'll tell you the truth of the matter, and that's enough for people to wake up and to find and to realize what's going on, because it says in Revelation, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. What's her fornication? That's talking about Roman Catholicism. That's talking about that fourth beast that Daniel saw and John saw. That is diverse and is powerful. It's treading over anything it wants, you know, and it has infiltrated every country. It has come into North America, and people are unaware how much part of Roman Catholicism their countries are. It says they become drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And people don't know what it, where it's from. It is all from Roman Catholicism. And that's what Jeremiah was coming against too back in his day, was those Babylonian and those Baal and those all those foreign gods that have crept in. See, on the, in the Grace Age, on the second feast, was we were told that to partake of unleavened bread. That unleavened bread is the unadulterated word of God. Roman Catholicism came in and has adulterated everything. They have leavened the whole lump with her, the wrath of her fornication. And that's, and people, they just do it so daily that they're not aware of actually what they're actually partakers of. And that's what we're warning people against, so that you can't, you don't feel, and when God's gonna judge it, because in the end God's gonna judge it, just like he judged Babylon of old. He judged it, and when he was done with it, he judged it. And the same way here, that mystery Babylon is going to be judged, and that's what this world is intoxicated with.
Amen to that. What's happening right now in the week of Daniel, Babylon is falling, mm-hmm. falling. You can read it in the book of Revelation. God is slowly feeding out these religiologies mm-hmm. and all, everything that, that pertains to Babylon. You'll be surprised how many leeches they get into every yeah. country, like down in South America. All of a sudden, the West is winning elections down there because God is turning the tide of events. The Roman Catholicism has been has infiltrated South America, and here are all these Roman Catholics out there that see what's happening now, because Babylon is falling all of a sudden, bit by bit. People are losing, these Roman Catholics, they're slowly losing ground because Babylon is falling. I think it's a 7 year and 1 hour, it says Babylon will fall. A 7 year period here in the book of Revelation, here in this end time. That's what we're living. We're living right now in the week of Daniel, where everything is going to be destroyed. Everything that is not of God is going to go out to hell and death. And we're just pretty much in the closing days. You only got about 2.5 years left before the final chapter would be done. And then Satan is no more. See, that angel comes down and he ties him up and he puts a chain on him and he throws them into hell. It's reality. For you and I, everything is so real. We're not living in Lula Land. We've dragged ourselves out of these compounds, out of these lies. That's all they can preach is lies. They'll never tell you the truth. That's why I keep saying them, their servants that they preach, they're not of God. Because if they were of God, they would tell them exactly what you and I are telling them. When we heard about the prophet, we told everybody. And then we went on and we heard about Brother Jacks. We told everybody. But see, just because they don't hear it, that doesn't stop us from telling them. Because it's just something that's in our makeup. We tell people because it's a gold mine. You find a gold mine, you want to share it with other people. That's the same thing here, because we found this gold mine. And like I said the other day, the first thing I did, I went back. The first one I told my wife, well, she never believed a word I was saying. And then I told her to the Hutterites. I still got the letter here, which I told them about God sending a prophet, and their baptism is of the devil. And we tell everybody because that's our job. We did. Little did I realize, I only realized it to the full extent the other day when I took inventory. That's what we've been doing. We've been doing exactly what God told Jeremiah here to do. Mm-hmm. I've sent you to demolish, to destroy, to tear down, and to uproot. See, if I was a preacher in that system, I'd be doing the same thing my dad did. I'd try to make that system work, because it's just the spirit of the thing. And he spent 45 years of his life trying to make that Hutterite system work. He believed in it. And he believed that at the point, did he ever put in a lot of effort to try to make it work. And then when I came about and I started demolishing it, he came to me one day and said I should because I was destroying his house that he's building, you know. He thought he's doing a great thing, mm-hmm. and he did a good job of it as far as that goes, but spiritually, all he was doing, he was supporting Roman Catholicism. Mm-hmm. He's supporting what they did in the Dark Ages. And then one day I went back and after to visit, and he came home and he said, I should have drowned you and your first, your first bath. We should have just drowned you, and then we wouldn't have to put up with the garbage here. Because, see, he put his whole life in. Imagine, he's coming up to 80 years old, and all he did all his life was support that system and belief in that system, and here I come along to demolish it. Mm-hmm. Of course you'll do. I don't hold it against him that's what he said. I should have drowned you in your first bath, because I'm demolishing his kingdom. I'm tearing down his house. And I never held it against him. After he terminated, he came home. Yeah, I came home one day. I hadn't seen my children for months, and I came home to visit. He called me up. What do you want here? I said, I came to visit my children. They're not your children. They belong to the church. Well, see, if I was in that system and I believed it like he did, I would be doing the same thing. See, so I didn't hold it against him. In fact, every day I'd get up, Lord, is there anything you want me to say? Is there anything you want me to do? Is there anything you want me to pray for? And for years I just went, that was my desire in my heart. I didn't hold it against these guys. Even with my father-in-law, he's the one that came into my house and said, tomorrow morning, you don't have no children, you have a wife, you don't even have a name. You're just a number, and you're out of here, and all that stuff. I know what I'm talking about, because I went through that torture chamber and speak, but I didn't hold it against him. Like I say, if I would be in their shoes, I would probably be doing the same thing that they're doing. But see, I saw through the charade, I saw through all that, and I pulled myself away from that garbage. And like I say, I didn't hold it against him. Every day I'd get up and, Lord, is there anything you want me to say? And then one day, I guess the Lord got fed up of me because I'm bugging him about my father-in-law, if I should pray for him, and the Lord came to me saying, you don't have to pray for him, because if I did something for him, because he already gotten cancer, if I did something for him, he would go back and do the same thing again. If I heal him, he would go about the same thing like he did before. See, when he got cancer, he kind of slowed down from his tyranny a little bit, but the heart of it is still the same. He said, if I heal him, he'll do the same thing all over again. So there's no point in healing him. And then, but with my dad, it was different. I was down in Linden, Washington, and the Lord woke me up at 6 o'clock, told me to go over to Vancouver Island. It's about an hour drive from Linden to the ferry, where you get on the ferry, and then it's about an hour drive across the ferry, and by the time you get across there, it's about 8 o'clock in the morning. And just as soon as my car, just as soon as I'm driving off the ferry, and I don't know why God does it that way. Why didn't he just tell me down when I was on Linden, Washington? But he told me, get in your car, drive over to the ferry, drive over to Vancouver Island, and as soon as my front wheels touched the ground on that island, the Lord came down and he spoke to me almost in an audible voice, pray for your dad, that I will give him a repenting heart. And other than that, he couldn't repent. And then sometime later, I came home to see him just before he got Alzheimer's. And he said to me, there's only one thing left for me to say is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. See, what the Lord was doing was giving him a repenting heart to repent of all his diabolical sins that he'd done all his life. The false baptism and all that Roman Catholic garbage that he was supporting all his life. The Lord finally opened up his eyes and understanding, because I was about the Lord's business. I was tearing down, I was rooting out, and I was demolishing that whole structure. And some of them, they hear it, but some of them, they just pulled their way through, like that Mike from Summerfell. I went and told him about it. I was in the kangaroo courts, and I told him about it. And then all of a sudden, the Lord opened up his understanding. But instead of repenting, what does the low life does? What does he do? He goes and tells people, oh, he didn't want his family anymore. Then he set it up so that we would terminate him. See, instead of repenting, he had come to the knowledge. He had come to see that he did something that's wrong. Taking a person away from his family and destroying a whole family structure just because of their religious ideology. That's what Roman Catholic did. I said the other day, they're just as capable to do everything that the Jesuits and the Catholics did back in the Dark Ages. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to them to go out and demolish and destroy and stretch people and persecute people, terrorize people. That same spirit is on these Hutterite preachers. It's not that simple. And if you're in that colony, don't think that that wife you got married to, that she's your wife. She's just a rental program to produce children and to keep the system going. They're really not your children. Because let's say you get converted to Christianity and you decide you're going to believe Sam and your wife doesn't, you're going to get run to the same problem. That's just the way it is. That same spirit is on these preachers, on these religious things. It's the same thing with these Amish. Their leaders, they're just as corrupt as they ever were down in the back in the Dark Ages. The same with that Society of Brethren down there. They've just got a form of godliness, you know, a religious cloak. That's all it is. And all we're doing, we're just exposing it for what it is. And then it's just that simple. We're just telling you the truth, because that's the only thing that we have is the truth. We're telling people the truth. And if they don't like it, well, they can go back and join the Catholics, because there's only going to be two things. There's either going to be a truth or that lie. Because back in the book of Ephesians and 2 Thessalonians, it'll tell you. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Go read it until it jumps out at you. God is going to they're all going to be destroyed and condemned simply because they did not receive a love for the truth. We've been telling people the truth for the last 30, 40 years. We told them about God sending a prophet. It's 100% the truth. We told them about water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's 100% the truth. That's all we're doing. We're telling people the truth. If they would choose to believe a lie, they should choose to believe in that outright garbage. Well, we don't. We know it's a lie. It's just all perpetrated by Satan. Behind it is the spirit of Satan. He engineered that whole other, I think, way back after Martin Luther came on the scene. All of a sudden, he sends in these Jacobuchers and these Andrea Verpa, these holy Roman, the Roman priests at one time. And then they supposedly converted. But what it is, they just came in with that Roman Catholic garbage. That Peter Ridwan was the first class Roman Catholic. Roman Catholic, and then they begin to turn it into works, where Martin Luther said to just to live by faith, and then they come with the works, with that community style living. It's all originated right out of the pit of hell, that's all. And we're telling people the truth. I know it's very hard for them to digest it, because what the Lord did in the last 40 years, He slowly taught us this. He took us to the Pentecostal system. He took us to the Mennonite system. He took us to the Baptist system. And then He brought us to the ministry of Brother Brent. It was a 40-year walk, and now here we come along and we tell people the exact truth like overnight. I mean, it's a pretty tough thing to chew on, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's pretty tough to digest what we're saying. And,
but
it's still the truth, you know?
Uh-huh. I used to wonder why I'm going through what I did, you know, why I felt that spirit of religion and Roman Catholicism growing up, it was so real to me, you know, that what that spirit is all about, and it was all to one day to expose it. The unfruitful works of darkness, to let people know, and what Jeremiah did, what God called Jeremiah to do, to tear down, to root up. Rooting up means to root up that root, that old root, that old Roman Catholicism that has rooted itself into everywhere. That's all where it originates, down from Rome, that Babylonian gods and everything, and that's what we're rooting up. That diabolical system that has rooted itself into every nation and kingdom.
That's why we talk so plain. That's why mm-hmm. we are so verbal. And you would think we hate these people. We don't. We all hate that spirit. That's what we're going out there to demolish. It's the spirit of the thing. We don't hate the people. If the people would only repent, we're just trying to make them aware of what's going on. Just like the Lord, it took him 40 years to make us, to prepare us for this journey we're on. Maybe all our lives even. We never did sell out to that system. We were in there, but we were not off it. You know, I never did feel comfortable there. But see what the Lord, he was taking us through there to teach us, to show us what that whole thing is all about. And today we can actually expose it. And I know we come along pretty strong. It looks like we hate those people. No, we don't. We're just trying to bring them to aware that if they don't repent, they're going to go out. They're going to go out to hell and death. That Grijalva's rider, we can read it over in the book of Revelation. That Grijalva's rider is taking them out to hell and death. And they're going to have to jump off that ship and come into the truth for your day. The truth for your day is exactly what we've been putting out here for the last 30, 40 years. And that people believe it or not, it's going to happen anyway. And up the road here, it's not like it was back in the days of Jeremiah where they went into 7-year captivity. Up here, that's up the road here, it's the day of the Lord, the great judgment, the judgment of the Lord, the wrath of the Lamb, and Lord Jesus Christ. For 30 days, you're going to see this planet rock to and fro. That's all we're doing. We're warning people what's coming up the road so they can come and go to the marriage supper for that. Come and take that vacation with us. That's all we're doing. And we got nothing else to do. That's why we get it to us. It's a joy to get up in the morning and do what we're doing because we're about the Lord's business. Mm-hmm. If it was my thing, I'd have picked it a long time ago. But I know we're only doing what the Lord wants us to do. We're about His business. Mm-hmm. And then He gives you the fuel for the day. He gives you things to say about, things to talk about. He gives you joy and speak and we're full of glory. And we got nothing else to do, so that's what He's got us doing. So we gladly do it. And that's just the truth of the matter. That's just it.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we just come before You, Lord, and we're just going over everything that You've let us walk through in life, Lord. Just like You commissioned Jeremiah to root up that religious spirit, Lord, that has infiltrated, and to tear down and to destroy it, Lord, so that we can build on that sure foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles and the prophets, according to Your word, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that You'll give us the grace to say the words that You want us to say and in a way that You want us to speak, Lord. So that You can be glorified. We just give You thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.